there's always the argument if the players don't go too well, the recruiters blame the development coaches, and
yes,
and
yeah,
vice versa.
Yeah.
The coaches blame the recruiters.
Yes. So, and then in 2005, you win the Foss Medal, Williams Medal.
Just before we go on to that, your experience at Port Adelaide, obviously you sort of said you trained scared almost, you know, to make the mistake. How was coming back to Norwood from that experience there, did that give you a sense of confidence that you could compete at the SNFL level at the level you wanted to? Or were you still a little bit unsure?
No, I think going in, I was confident at being able to compete at the SANFL level, but coming back and coming back out of that system, actually, it gave me more confidence.
Yeah.
So even though that 1 year of and it was a strange year because Mac was a coach at Norwood, and I'd be half a week down at Port and then come back for the Thursday night session and then play with Norwood, and there was a little bit of a feel of you know, the year before I was starting midfield every week, but this in 03 I'd sort of maybe start forward and then go through it. So you sort of felt like you're a little bit in between. You know, you're not fully in at Port and you're not fully in at Norwood. So, I just don't think I had the best year in a few areas. But coming out of that, it didn't affect me sort of coming back to Norwood after that. And I certainly felt, you know, better and stronger and fitter, and that I had some more lessons around strategy of the game and stoppage craft that I could then utilise it at SNFL level.
Funny out of that, I totally get how hard it is on the player where you're back and forth and exactly that.
And even
obviously spoken to Robbie Maynard and Rowie and that about it as well. But it's ironic that it hasn't really helped the AFL teams where they've placed in terms of on the premiership table and at the end of the year compared to the old method where everyone got drafted out when they're starting to fill clubs. So I totally get it as a player. You'd rather be with that one group all week and feel part of it. But it's ironic, premiership table-wise, maybe it hasn't been as big a deal as we thought it was going to be.
No. I think it's more a convenience thing from a club perspective as well, that you know, the coaches are not – the development coaches don't have to watch, you know, four different games or whatever it is. So, I think that's the other part of it as well. They can play the AFL team's system as opposed to being the mini draft that how it was that, you know, I'd be obviously doing the Nord stuff and other players are going over to other teams and doing different things. So it makes sense that they did have the standalone team, but I know what you're saying. They haven't really, it hasn't really affected their performances in terms of a positive way.
I do remember an amusing night at the Home of Football with Bass at the back yelling out, reminding Darren Fifey that you're not at Port now, you're at Nord to go to the spot on the thing with colourful language added, and we were pissing ourselves laughing. And Fife, to his credit, took it pretty well afterwards, and he takes the mickey out of himself about that as well.
Yeah.
What about winning the Foss Williams medal, knowing you that would have been a fair bit of pride and, you know, you as a footy nut in terms of knowing the name and all that, that would have been pretty special, mate.
Yeah, I think, first of all, getting a game for the state team was, a big honour for me because after not making it in the AFL, the next best thing is to, you know, try and play the highest level that you possibly can, and that's, you know, state footy against Victoria over at Port Melbourne. So, it was a... I remember starting on the bench and came on and kicked a couple of goals and had a fair bit of the footy. So, we had a really good win against the Vic. So, that was certainly looking back, it's in terms of individual accolades, that's certainly one that's sticks out in my mind and a really enjoyable day out in Melbourne.
And being named state captain the following year, it would have been a pleasurable honour, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Captain the state team. So again, in terms of the next best thing that I can do from an individual perspective, that's again a huge honour to do that. We had another good win against WA. I remember lining up on Shane Woden and shaking hands at the start and then not seeing him for the rest of the game. I think we had 30-odd possessions each, and but we got the win, so.
It's an important thing.
Bit of loose checking there.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of defence in those sorts of games.
No. And 2006, of course, you 150, and your second BNF also is a significant year. Were any more AFL interest at any time during that period, Scotty, or you just think you're unlucky? You'd had that 1 year, and as we know, clubs don't tend to look again a lot of the time. Yeah.
Back then, they never did. Oh. If you were slightly injured or you weren't quite what they were looking for, that was it.
I think the couple of things cost me. Not super tall and not super quick. So, as much as and as much as I'd like to think that if I did get the opportunity that I could find the ball and be smart and clean and have decent agility and all that sort of stuff, I think that it was a time where they were getting more athletic guys through. You know, the whole coup de foudres thing changed, how footballers should, the shape of footballers. So a lot of the recruiters back then were looking for taller, more athletic types that they could sort of turn into footballers.
Oh, very much so. Like Luke Jericho was someone who got looked at purely, really, because of his athleticism. And, it wasn't a sheer coincidence that I mentioned Timmy G's name earlier, because I think you've got similarities as players, in terms of both could find the ball, but blistering pace wasn't the strength, and all that. And unfortunately, as we know, that's a big thing at AFL level and all that.
Yeah.
And then you just timing. Someone like Lachie Murphy to have played over 100 AFL games has got me beat. So, it's just a lot of it's pot luck as well, and that. And that's nothing. It's
absolutely
Lachie Murphy as a person. I just, it's just still got me completely mystified. when did you hurt your knee then, Borlacher? Because that really stuffed you up.
Yeah, and that still hurts me today. 07, I was out at Westies. And again, I think it must have been 26 or 27 at the time, and just thinking that I'm coming into my best footy, and there was just one high ball that I stood under and tried to jump up and take a mark, and then came down and just felt something pop in the knee, and it ended up being a PCL, posterior cruciate ligament. Yep. So, but at the same time, I think it damaged, the surface of the knee a fair bit. So, I tried to come back pretty quick, because most injuries I'd had previously that, I came back and got back pretty quick. So I tried to come back, 4 or 5 weeks when I think it's maybe an 8-week injury. And I don't know, in hindsight, maybe that's done more damage. But I basically, I think from that, I tried to play a couple of games that year, and I was getting it drained on a Friday night from Doc Verrill, and see him at Stepney, and
good man Chopper.
Chopper Verrill, and he'd put the syringe in and take out all the fluid, and I'd feel good for probably half of the game, and by the end of the game, it'd be really sore and then swollen the next day. So I tried to rehab it. I actually had a Lars ligament put into it. So if you remember back, I don't think they're around much anymore.
It's funny.
It was a fad for a while
died away.
So I think I was one of the first ones to have it for a PCL. Basically it's an artificial ligament that tried to sort of hold my knee in place a little bit more, but which is still in there. I don't know what it's doing in there. It's still in there somewhere, but it's still, these days I can't run a hell of a lot. It's my right knee's pretty painful to do that. But I tried from, so I didn't play, I don't think, in 08.
No, then you tried, your last game was round 21 in 2009. Yeah.
It was against North Adelaide.
That was your only senior game for the year. So,
So I just tried, and then realised after that one I was done. And I remember even being in that game, thinking I can't do it anymore. My body won't do what my mind
Wants to do, yep.
Thinks, yeah, wants to do. So,
Had you been training a lot up until that point?
Not a lot in terms of volume of running because it would just swell up too much.
Yep.
But in terms of rehab and trying to get it strong and all that sort of stuff, I was doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to nothing was really working. I think as I mentioned before, the surfaces of the knee were just too far gone that nothing I did was going to help it. I tried, a few different things. Like if you remember Andrew McLeod, sort of.
Yeah.
He got a few years out of an artificial fluid or Synvis, they called it, where you put it in the joint of the knee. I tried that, but it didn't really work for me. So, at the end of that, I was thinking about trying again for 210. But Bass mentioned that, there's a forward line coaching role there if I wanted it. So, I wouldn't be, because part of it was, all my mates were still playing. There's a couple of guys I didn't mention before, Zorzi and Kieran McGuinness and
two legends. That's Sam, two more who's been on the show. Yep. Kick out, yep.
Sam Rowe and all those guys were still there, and I was just still keen to try and play, but in hindsight, the opportunity to get into coaching it would have been 27 or 28, or maybe just after that, but much younger than I potentially would have if I kept playing. It's probably part of the reason why I got the opportunity at Brisbane up to be involved in a premiership not long ago. So as much as I'm disappointed that the playing ended, I think if you look at things in a positive light, that things happen for a reason, that's potentially how I ended up doing what we did a few weeks ago.
Was that something that you'd considered before Bass had spoken to you? And how did that conversation come about? Was it, look, you're trying your best to get back, but it's not quite working, and
Knowing Bass, it would have been pretty upfront. And just, hey, this is where you're at. Well, this is what I suggest.
This is why I'm asking.
Is to your best of benefits. And, that's Bass.
But it's like you guys were there.
Exactly.
But no, was it on your radar, though?
When I was, I'm also a teacher. We didn't mention that before, but I was teaching as well. So teaching is, in a lot of ways, is coaching. So early days when I was playing, I didn't think I was going to go down the coaching path, but towards the end when I was injured in 07 and got to sit in the coach's box and do those sorts of things, that did, I guess, ignite that passion to coach.
Yep.
Bass's conversation was, I know exactly what he was thinking. He was basically saying you shouldn't try and try and play again. It's no good. But we've got an opportunity here for you to stay involved with the club and step into coaching. And obviously it was a great opportunity. And Bass, as we know, I learned a lot from Bass. So again, you talked about lessons from playing, but also what I learned from different coaches I had along the way as well. And Bass was really important in that. And a lot of the things that he taught our boys at Nord, I took up to Brisbane with the academy. So.
And the so nearly under Bass in 2010, the bloody goalpost and that. I may have Weathers' kids may have got up the next morning and said that effing goalpost, and Marnie replied straight away to Tim, bloody Malcolm. Yeah.
And then, so then obviously, 2012, I went, Joel Patful, obviously. He was up in Brisbane and mentioned that there was an academy role going and I should apply for it. And so I did the first, in 2011, I applied for it and was down to the last six. So I had a phone interview and missed out. And then the guy that did it in 2011 only did it for a year and then moved back to WA. And then they contacted all the people that were in the mix the year before. And I got a phone interview again. And again, they said I'd missed out. They interviewed three others and they couldn't decide on the right candidate. So they interviewed three more and I was one of the next three. And Fortunately, got the opportunity to be the head coach of the Lions Academy. So, which is a bit of a shock, because being in Adelaide for so long, and I was actually really happy doing what I was doing, teaching and coaching at Norwood.
What school were you at then, Scotty? What school were you teaching at then?
I was at Blackfriars.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. With Leo Panzerino and that. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. So, reflection, the opportunity to get involved and be full time in an AFL club, it was a full time role at the academy. I remember going up though, first of all for the interview and being in the taxi and going to the interview and thinking, where the hell are all the AFL grounds? Like, this is a different world, It was so rugby league and so basketball and everything else, but AFL. But then I watched, when I got announced as the coach, I went and watched the training session, which was taken by a few of the assistant coaches. And I was thinking, geez, our Norwood under-18s would smash these guys, absolutely smash them. So it was a little bit interesting early days, being in rugby league territory. But I guess the function of the academy was to try and provide a pathway for Queenslanders in AFL, and then sure enough, guys like Harris Andrews came through, and Eric Hipwood and Ben Keys and Corey Wagner, who's at Freo now. So it started to actually be a bit of a pathway, and once players saw that guys like Harris and that were getting drafted, and then more and more were actually being drawn to AFL, and so it became a really good pathway for players to get into the AFL, but also from what the AFL was trying to do, and that is grow the game in Queensland. It certainly achieved that.
I was going to say, who were some of the coaches that you had back then? Was Vossie back involved at Brizzy then, and then Mark Harvey?
Yep. So Vossie was the senior coach at the time when I first started. And Harves was only a caretaker coach, I think, at the end when Vossie got moved on. So I coached the academy for 4 years, and then I think Leper got appointed in maybe 14 or 15. And then
2014, I reckon.
Was it 14? Yep, 14. And then in 2016, I guess on the back of, we had a few of those boys drafted, Harris and Eric and Keezy, that I got an opportunity to move into the AFL program as a development coach.
Yep.
And then, so I had that year, I was the line coach in the VFL, in the NEAFL it was at the time, with the defenders. And basically going from having 250 kids in the academy to basically having to look after about 8.
Okay.
I thought, hang on, I used to have to obviously pump the footies up and create the magnets. I've gone, hang on a sec, this is actually easier than what I was doing with the academy. But obviously the end of that year, 2016, Leper actually called me in late in the year and said, we've got to improve our development. Have you got any thoughts? And basically, I rattled off a number of things, and he said, can you put it in writing? And I put together this pretty large document
I can imagine that, Scotty.
I've only been speaking to you now for about 40 minutes, and that doesn't surprise me.
I think it was 40 odd pages, actually. So, but just different ideas of things that, and they're all sort of teaching ideas how we can, train better, how we can analyze our young players better, and and then not long after that he got moved on, he got the sack, but fortunately Fags came in and he goes, I heard you've got some ideas on development, and I just plonked the booklet on his desk, and pretty much at the end of that coffee he said, how would you like to be our head of development? So that's what I've been doing for the last 8 years.
I will say here, Pete, Scotty unknowingly actually did me a favour, but it was amusing how it worked out. So I was up with Brisbane for work and contacted Scotty and you know, can we have a look at the Gabba? And Scotty, yeah, I'll give you a tour and that. And so it's a few people from our work back then.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.